Father God, we just thank you that we are able to come together to worship, and you say that where two or more are gathered together, that you are here. And we thank you for that promise. And we just ask that our hearts are open, our minds are open to your word, and that we can really think about actions that we need to take to apply it in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there's a few questions in this passage, Romans 8, 31 to 39, so I'm just going to start with one rhetorical question. How confident are you? If someone said to you, how confident are you, what would you think and what would your answer be? Just have a think about that. And we'll come back to it at the end. According to Charles Spurgeon, the renowned, revered preacher, the distinguishing mark of a Christian is his or her confidence in the love of Christ Jesus. Christians believe in love and reflect it. And in this part of the letter to the Romans, Paul is writing to the Christians in Rome concerning the confidence they have in Christ. So the passage we are looking at tonight that Matthew read opens up with Paul's words. Another question. What then shall we say? Paul doesn't ask, shall we say something? Instead he asks, what then shall we say? In Paul's mind, it is necessary for us to say something in response to what God has revealed through him. God's word is not information to be filed away somewhere. Mahatma Gandhi said these challenging words to a group of missionaries, Mahatma Gandhi, the philosopher. You Christians look after a document containing enough dynamite to blow all the world to pieces, metaphorically, turn the world upside down, and bring peace to a battle-torn planet. But you treat it as though it is nothing more than a piece of literature. Well, these words are equally as challenging to us today. The word of God is not just given to us to read, but to put its teachings into practice. And in these verses, Paul asks a number of rhetorical questions that demonstrate God's love for his people. If you are wondering during these difficult times, does God love me? In this passage, there are a number of questions that are unanswerable, which demonstrate God's love for those who are in Christ Jesus. The first one is, if God is for us, who can be against us? In other words, if God is on your side, you can't lose. How can you lose? If God is for you, it doesn't matter what other people think. We all get worked up with what people think of us. What should I wear? What do I look like? How do I sound? How do I come across to people? Why are those people not speaking to me anymore? All these things that we get caught up in. If God is for us, who can be against us? Those things don't really matter. But Paul isn't suggesting that no one is against us. We all know that people and things still oppose us. There are people who dislike Christians, and there are the trials of life and Satan himself. Just as a sort of a minor illustration of that, yesterday I was reading a tweet from Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury, which said the comforting words of Jesus from Matthew 11, verse 28, which are, come to me, all who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I was reading the responses, and there was lots of opposition to the responses when those words are Jesus' words of comfort. But what Paul is saying is, God on your side, none of this really matters. And the second question, If God gave his only son for you, is he likely to withhold anything else? He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? And the third question. No one can be successful in prosecuting us in the court of God's justice. God has chosen us to be his, and he has justified us already. And in the fourth question, who then can condemn? No one. Jesus is supremely qualified to be our defense. These questions have taken a sort of a judicial flavor. Jesus already served a sentence for us when he died on the cross. And in verse 34, it tells us he is praying for us. Do you ever wish sometimes that someone would just be on your side, sticking up for you? Sometimes it feels as though that no one is on our side, or certainly that's how I feel. And we need to remember that Jesus is on our side. And the fifth question, how can anyone come between you and Christ's love? You can be separated from friends and family, and lots of people during these last few months have been separated from friends and family. Even death separates us. But not even the worst things listed in the Bible should faze us. Why? Because Jesus loves us. That's why when faced with every difficulty, you should be able to hold on to God's love for you. Paul mentions some of these difficulties at the end of verse 35 to make sure that we get the point. And some people have the misconception that Christians aren't supposed to have any problems. But trials have been part of the lives of God's people since time began. Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote this letter to the Romans, himself has gone through severe trials. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. We, which is Paul and Timothy, do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired for life itself. This hasn't deterred Paul for his love for Christ. You may have read Simon's newsletter yesterday, where he talks about the anxiety that he suffers with. And I myself have suffered anxiety in certain periods. There was a spell when I was off work for quite a long time. And in verse 36, Paul quotes Psalm 44, verse 22, when he says, "As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." And then Paul goes on to list seven possibilities of troubles in life in the verses 35 to 39. There were troubles to be faced in Paul's time and troubles to face now. So I'm not going to go through all those lists of troubles. Some of those troubles were relevant to that day, but what Paul is saying is just about every trouble that you could possibly imagine. But it's important to understand in verse 35 when he says, in all these things. So in all these things, not being spared from these things, but in them, in the varied difficulties in life. In all these things. In verse 37, it said, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In the last few months, even part of our normal vocabulary has changed. There are words that are just common in our vocabulary now, which we probably didn't even say before, or certainly not very much. thinking of things like furlough, social distancing, whoever used that phrase before, face coverings, lockdown, and we are using the word unprecedented an unprecedented number of times. And it just seems to be on the news that everything is unprecedented. Well, there's another word, or the meaning of it, that isn't in our normal everyday vocabulary, and maybe it should be. The Greek word, hupernikaio, is two words together. Nikaio meaning to conquer, to carry off the victory, to come off victorious. And hooper, which means above. So being a super conqueror or a super overcomer is more than winning, is more than being victorious. What does it mean to be a super conqueror? Well, to be more than a conqueror means that before you even get a problem, you should already know that when a problem comes your way, whatever it is, you will be able to overcome it through Jesus. It might be difficult, it will be difficult in most situations, but you will be able to overcome it through Jesus. This is the kind of relationship Jesus wants us, his people, to have with him. You aren't constantly worried about bad things on the news, or things that may happen, or things that you're just not sure of, things that aren't in your plan. You know that your plan isn't God's plan. And when something happens that you weren't expecting, or when you're disappointed, which we all are at times, it won't devastate you. This doesn't mean that we won't have times when we're struggling with things, because we've heard that that's not the case. But to be more than conquerors means that we know that we are never alone. Jesus is with us, and as it said in verse 34, is interceding for us, praying for us. The passage ends with Paul's confidence that nothing in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When he says in 38 and 39, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." So the question, how confident are you, should really be, how confident are you in the love of Christ? And Paul gives us every reason to be confident, not in ourselves and not because of anything we do, but in our salvation and the sovereign God who accomplishes it. We should heed Paul's words. We should think of Paul's words and reflect. To everyone who is in Christ by faith, they are words of comfort and reassurance. And we all need those words of comfort and reassurance, especially in these difficult times. They offer hope and confidence in the difficulties we are currently facing with COVID-19 and the uncertainty of what's happening in the world. We should feel secure in the love of God. And as Charles Spurgeon said, we should reflect his love in our lives. We should reflect Jesus' love in our lives. If we are confident in the love of Christ, we are more than conquerors. Amen.